It's hard to, I was listening to Matt last week in Florida, and it's kind of hard to follow up behind Matt. You're doing a great job. I was nervous about job security. I had to, you know, have to follow up behind you. So we're going to be in Luke today. I'm going to go ahead and jump right into the message here. We are in Luke 11. We're going to do 1 through 13. Matt spoke last week about the Good Samaritan, Mary and Martha. We learned to study and to read the Word of God. So we know what his purpose in our lives are. And today we're going to look at how a disciple should pray. So I'm going to go ahead and just read here. All right. So it said, it happened while Jesus was praying in a certain place. Now, forgive me, I got new glasses, so I'm trying to get used to them here. So now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples," and say to them, and he said to them, "When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation." And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now I'm going to try some new things here. We're trying a PowerPoint here. And as you can tell, as you go to PowerPoint, what was on my mind by the pictures in the background. So it says, prayer, the daily walk with God. And I was, my father was in the military, so I was raised in, we moved all over, and I attended a Catholic school in St. Thomas More in Washington, D.C. And the Lord's Prayer is one of the things you're taught, and we would say it repeatedly and repeatedly. But the Lord's Prayer is more of an example and a lead. Theologians have talked that it's not to be exactly, it's not something you share verbatim and you just recite that same prayer. So we're going to go ahead. Eric, go down with this? Okay. There we go. As you can tell, it was on my mind. It says, teach us to pray. Instructions about prayer. It happened that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John had taught his disciples. There's only one thing that the disciples, if you read the New Testament, there's only one thing the disciples asked Jesus to do to teach them. It wasn't teaching healing, it wasn't teaching prophecy, it was teaching them to pray. And if we follow Jesus through the New Testament and through the Gospel, you'll see that he is in constant prayer. And here's an example here that he was praying. They saw the example. They didn't say, teach us the prayer. It says, teach us to pray. Show us how to pray. So they walked with him. They saw him healing. In Luke's Gospel, it talks about seeing Martha and Mary. And at the same time, all they're asking him to do is, "Lord, teach us to pray." And in Luke 11, 2 and 4, it says, number 2, "And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come.'" So that's a give us his position in us. Father. Now to me, I was blessed with my father who's old school, but he's very loving. He provided, and the way he showed his love, and the way most of us fathers, and I'm guilty of doing it in my life with my children, is by work. I work hard, I provide, that's how I say I love you. And a lot of times we take that relationship and we try to apply that to God. That he's just a God that provides. He's our provider. He is. He is our Father, but we're in a relationship with him. We are his children, his child. And if you approach God with that childlike relationship, then you realize that He is everything. For some of us, it's a little bit takes a little bit, a few more years to remember what it's like being a child and fully dependent on your father. But that's the relationship He wants you when He's talking to Him. And when Luke puts this in the time, the Jews, God had a reverent name, and you wouldn't associate God as a father. You couldn't give Him an earthly identity because He was so royal and so He was our King. So for Luke, for Jesus to open up with this basic term as Father, it was relating, it was taking Him off this unapproachable place that we couldn't be near Him or in His presence to a relationship where He's right here next to us, sitting there next to us. So He's a child. It's a personal relationship. Number two, His position knows us as His name. Hallowed be His name. He is a King. He is our King. He is our Lord. He is our judge. So we need to honor that. A lot of us, names are important to us. Family names are important to us. And we won't do anything to damage our reputation or our family name. How much greater is the Lord? How are we representing ourselves when we are out in the community and out in the world and in our families that we're representing God and His honorable and He's our King? And are we representing that through our lives? Just as we try to represent, I'm a Krieger, and I try to represent my Father. How much greater is God? And then Thy kingdom come. That's where we take residence, in His kingdom. He's to rule our lives. Every second of our lives, He is to rule. So in this basic opening of this prayer, we're recognizing our relationship with Him. He's our Father. And then His position in the world and over us is our King. He's our Lord. We live in Your kingdom, and He rules us. And one of the things here in this country, that's why there was a great explosion early on when this country was established, because we were coming from a kingdom rule, even though we were separated from it. And we had our freedom, so we had the freedom of religion. But we knew what kingdom rule is. And now what's stopping a lot of the growth in this country is we don't want anybody to rule us. We're Americans. I made myself. I can do everything on my own. And we take that relationship and we try to fill it in and get Jesus in this box or God in this box, but yet I'm still going to rule my life. And if you go to Africa and you go to some of these third world countries, it takes off. It blows up because they know what a kingdom rule is. They understand their position in their society. They understand God's position and their rule over them, and how it affects their day-to-day lives. So let's move on to three. It says, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves also forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. You'll see a little motto I got going on here. Again, you can see where my mind was when I was preparing this at breakfast and coffee So I was just telling Eric that this morning. So our position now in Him, we know His position in us, and He's our ruler. But what's our position in Him? We are His child. And along comes a child, comes, He provides everything for us. And a lot of times, a lot that He provides for us is discipline. We don't like that part. He provides our daily bread. We are thankful. Everything that we have, this job, our cars, everything. We're not asking for cake. We're asking for bread. So a lot of times we, in our prayers, we're asking for that cake when it's just enough to have that manna, that sufficient bread, our daily need. Second is that forgive us. We're all sinners. All of us. But yet we have a merciful judge who's forgiven us, and He's a gracious healer. So we recognize that everything that we have, He provides. And second, we all fall short. Daily. This is a daily prayer. God, forgive me. And you do a heart search. And you go through and whatever you're struggling with. And that sin separates us from His presence. And we're just asking, Lord, I want to be back in Your presence. At the same time, it reminds us that we are weak. We are in the flesh. He is our deliverer, our protector, and He is our light. again more bread. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight, says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he answers, says, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. There's a lot of families in here that have small children. Can you imagine? I'll try to make it a family member, a cousin or brother, knocking at your door at 3 o'clock in the morning. So look, I got company. I need some coffee and some bread so I can share. Probably nowadays it's like, look, man, not even answer the door or come to the door. It's like my wife and the children asleep and get out of here. But in that culture back then, it was shameful if you got a visitor and you weren't a gracious host. And if you came short, you would go to your neighbor. And it would be shameful for a village, the community, if they didn't provide for their visitor, whether it was a stranger or not. Several years back, Marcus Luttrell, some of you guys may know him, was a Navy SEAL, and he was in Afghanistan, and they made a movie about it, and he was separated from his group, and he's a lone survivor of a mission from the Navy SEALs, and he was taken into a Pashtun town, an Afghani town, and one of their society rules is if someone's in need and they come to you for help, that you provide it, whether they're an enemy or a friend. And I believe it was 5 to 7 days they took care of this enemy as if it was his own brother. They didn't look at him as an enemy or a stranger or an American. They just looked at him as a man in need. And they took care of him. And they sent a guy, I guess he walked several hundred miles to get help, and they came in and they rescued him. And those are just tiny villagers in Afghanistan. But yet they had a culture of taking care of. So again, there's the neighbor, the relationship. I'm not sure what the second word is there. But relationship, there's a friendship. There are needs to be met. We are a church. We are friends. We are family. And there's needs to be met. But how much greater are the needs that we have that our Father, our God, our Lord provide for us? And we're supposed to go boldly to Him in our prayer. Almost, no matter the hour, almost shameless. Persistent. That knocking. No, I'm going to keep knocking until you give me. And it's not a matter of that's our relationship with God, but He wants us to come shameless before Him. Sometimes our prayers aren't answered right away. I know mine aren't all the time. Majority of the time, I don't seem to get them answered. But it's that constant, persistent prayer. How many times do your kids say, hey, can I have this? Can I have this? Can I have this? And you just feel that they don't need it. Or maybe you just, for whatever reason, can't afford it. Or it's just not the right timing. And then there's just sometimes, all right, let's go. Whether it's, hey, let's go fishing. Well, not today. I've got this in the way. Or, hey, you know what? You didn't do good in school. And there's sometimes, hey, let's go fishing. But we try to relate our relationship with God and our prayers the same way. He has His reasons why He doesn't answer some of the prayers right away. It could be a discipline for us. As I looked this up, there's a ton of theology on why prayers are answered and aren't answered. All I know is everything is done for the good of God. How much greater is our God, and His plan is mighty. He always comes through. May not be in our timing, or I need, but He always comes through. So be persistent, be shameless in your going to Him on your knees and praying to Him. Go on to the next parable. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will open. I was told a story. When I was sharing this and going over this, there's a story of I'm coming from a Baptist environment. So this Baptist church, he got a new pastor, he goes in and he's trying to dry up the county, and the county gets trying to drive up the town that he's in, and there's a new tavern, and new tavern owner, and he goes in, and the church gets together and starts praying for a dry county. And they pray that the tavern closes up and leaves their town. And by chance, lightning strikes the tavern and burns the tavern down. So the tavern owner sues the church, takes it to court. And he stands before the judge. He goes, these people on this side of the room prayed against me. They prayed so hard that God answered their prayer and burned down my tavern. So the defense attorney for the church gets up. And the people on this side of the room, they didn't light the fire. It was the lightning storm that caused the fire. It was lightning. It has nothing to do with us. We're not responsible for that. It was lightning that caused the fire. He didn't have it grounded, and it burned the tavern down. So the judge goes to do his ruling, and the judge says, okay, I've learned two things from this. First of all, I learned that the tavern owner believes in God and prayer works, and that the Baptists don't believe in prayer. So that's usually our relationship. And I'm being recorded, and any of my Baptist brothers that hear this, lighten up. Enjoy it. So it says knock. Let me go on here. Ask, seek, knock. When you're asking, trust that your prayers will be answered. Trust in our Almighty God. When you seek, search. Search your motives. Search why you're asking, what you're asking for. Search His Word, if it's biblical. Search if it's His will. Knock. You have to know your God. He has to know you. When you ask, it will be given. No questions asked. You seek it, you'll find it. Some of us may not like the truth when we seek and we start doing a heart search. But it will open up your relationship with Him. Wow, that's tiny. I'm going to have to read it off here. It says, now, suppose one of your fathers is asked by his sons for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he asks for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? Now, I had to look this up because I couldn't understand how they got a relationship between a fish and a snake and an egg and a scorpion. So it was a fishing community, and when they would throw their nets over, and they would fish with the family. It was a family thing, very similar to farming. We talked about farming this morning and how it's a family business. And back there were machinery to do of it, and that's why there's such large families in the farming communities. So they would fish, and they would throw their nets over. And they would bring their nets up, and they were freshwater fishing. And a lot of times when they bring their nets up, there would be a snake in the net. Water moccasin, an eel. So they would have that, and they would separate it when they shook them into the basket to separate them. So he's giving you an example of there are snakes and there are eels available, snakes to give, and we as fathers, we know to look through and sort out, and we still can give him, reach down, and we're careful enough to make sure we're giving him the right thing, that we're reaching, we give him a fish. And then I couldn't understand, how do you get an egg from a scorpion? And I was going to bring the video, but there's a video of a little scorpion. One of the defensive things it does, it balls itself up, and it looks like a little quail egg. So the theologists are saying that, you know, when you reach down, that the scorpion, to defend itself, would ball up into a small ball and it would look like a quail egg. So again, it's an example of being careful to make sure we're giving the right gift and looking and making sure we're not giving a scorpion instead of an egg because it could do damage to us. And then it says, you know, let me get here to my notes. So He is not like us. We are evil. We are sinners. God is perfect. But yet, even as sinners and as evil, and that's a strong word to use for us, but there's no good in us. The only good in us is through Him. But yet, we can give perfect gifts to our own children. See, a lot of times we try to relate God as our earthly God. And coming from an environment of education and we've come a long way. The enemy's twisted our homes upside down has taken the head of the house of the father and has removed him from the house. There's abuse, there's neglect. I'm not going to deny any of that. You grow up not being, I was taught not to cry. Boys don't cry. You show no emotion. God's an emotional God. He cries. It's okay for us to cry. It takes a little bit to admit that as a man, but it's okay. Now, if you're running around crying all the time, we need to intercede and figure out what's going on. But we try to put God in this father, earthly father box that we have, that he's only a disciplinarian, that he's only a provider. He doesn't want a relationship with us. Our relationship with him is just to do what he asks us to do. God is bigger than that. He is good. He gives good things. Because he loves us, he is patient with us. He disciplines us, and he teaches us long-suffering. So through your prayer life, is God teaching you then? Is he teaching you to be patient? That's somewhere where I need is patience. And there's long-suffering. All those patience and discipline and long-suffering are all examples of love. Because love is long-suffering. And because he loves us and because we love him is why we deal with him. The most amazing gift of all that he gives us in our prayers is the Holy Spirit. He gives us the Comforter, his indwelling Spirit in us. So as we're praying and we're on our knees or you stand and pray or whatever prayer that you have, your prayer life is, it's something that needs to be done daily. But he's indwelling. He's there with you. He's sitting with you. And I think we forget that at times. It's just words. I'm not a fancy prayer. It's just not in me to do it. There are men and women in this church and in this world that have this great vocabulary and that's their way of worshiping. And you know, Mike's not here, but Mike's a prayer warrior, I truly believe. When we sat and spoke, and when he prays from his heart, from his soul, and he reaches out, and that's a gift and a talent that's given to him. We all have that ability to pray, but God just wants us just to sit and talk to him. Just sit and have a cup of coffee with him and talk to him and share how your day's going. He knows already, but he just wants that relationship. He wants you to know that he's there. And that daily prayer and that model prayer, it's not a matter of repeating it, those words. It's just an example on how we're supposed to recognize him as our Father. Know that he is our King. The Lord's Prayer is a perfect prayer, but God is not looking for perfect. God is looking for love and sincerity. Pray from your heart. Don't be silent. Be persistent. Be bold, but yet be patient as you sit in his presence, as you ask, seek, knock, and listen. That's where we start daily. And I want to encourage you guys to make time for prayer. We make time for everything else in our lives, in our busy lives. But make time for prayer. Start your day in his word. Start with prayer. Start in the word of God. Prayer is all day long. It's consistent. It's as you drive, as you're getting ready to get out, open that door and go into a meeting with someone that you just don't get along with, or that you know you're about to walk in. And I was just talking to Dale before coming up. We had to do hospital visitations and visiting people's homes. And that's the first thing everybody wants. Hey, pray for me. Can you pray for me? Because I'm in need. So when we're in need, we know the power of prayer. But in our daily life, when we need him the most, I think we forget about it. It's not enough just to come in here and pray on Sundays. I am guilty, and it's probably sacrilege. You'll probably fire me today. But I don't pray every time I eat. Every time I sit down, sometimes I'm just hungry and I eat. And my daughter's like, Dad, you didn't pray. And I just thank you and go right back to eating. It's not a routine. It's not a ritual. It's just a conversation with him. And it's an ongoing. You speak to your friend. How many times are you guys on the phone or you speak to your wife on the phone throughout the day or a friend throughout the week? How much greater is God in your life? How much great of a friend. Sometimes I think we forget that he's our first love. We forget that encounter that we had, whether it was last year or 5 years ago or 30 years ago for some of us. He's our first love. We want to be with him. We want to talk to him. And he'll talk back. I've been doing this for some time. I've yet to hear an audible voice. I haven't heard, Mike, you're doing good, or Mike, you're doing horrible. But I hear it in here. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. I got stuck in a pipe when I was a diver. I got stuck in a 42-inch pipe underneath 12 feet of ground, 200 feet up a pipe. I had surrendered my life to Christ. I had given, told him, I'm your servant. I'll do whatever it takes. But I wasn't ready. And he had given me opportunities and openings to do his work, but I wasn't ready because I needed to provide for my family. And I had a job and a career, and that was my who I was. That was my identity, my job and my career. And that's how I provided for my family, and that's how I showed them love as a father. And I got stuck in this pipe. And it went pitch black. My flashlight went out. My communications to the surface went out. And I was stuck. And what did I go to? Prayer. And I prayed, all right, God, get me out of this. And I will surrender today. Whatever you want. And it seemed like an hour I was stuck down there. And finally, I could hear the communication come back from Brian. He's like, hey, man, what are you doing? I said, then my flashlight came on. I'm telling you, as plain as I'm sitting in front of you today, these things happened. And he tugged on the line, and I got back out. I climbed out the pipe, and there's a picture of it. One of the gentlemen snapped, and I got out. I sat there, and he's like, what happened? I said, I got hung up on something, but I got to get back down and finish that job because that's what we do as men. I've got to do my job. I know what I just promised you, God. I know everything I just said in that prayer, and I know you provided for me, but I still got to do my job. I can't look bad in front of the guys. I can't have somebody else do my job. So I put my mask back on, and right before I put my mask on, I'm spitting in it. It sounds gross, and I'm wiping it, and one of the guys come up and knows me, and there's a nervous thing that you do. You're constantly cleaning your mask. He's like, you all right? I said, I'm good. I got down the pipe, started going up the pipe, and the pipe got real short, and I heard God say, look, who are you pleasing? Them or me? So I got right back out of the pipe, took it off, and I quit that moment. They didn't believe me. They're like, you can't quit. I ain't telling you guys to do that. That's just my life and my story. And it wasn't an easy thing to do, and I gave them 3 months' notice, and 2 weeks later I was terminated. That's from Florida, right to work state. But that's, I know prayer works. And then there's times I prayed and nothing's happened. And 8 months later, I get a phone call from a tiny church in Norway, Iowa. I say, hey, would you like to come up and share the gospel? All right, God. So, and I know you've been praying, and I'm hoping I'm that person. I know I've been praying, but time will tell. Time will tell. It's a relationship, guys. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, would you give us your strength to persevere? Would you give us the grace not to give up and to really, truly hold on to your promises? God, help us to always remember how good you are and how for us you are. Thank you for creating prayer as a means to know you, to partner with you, and to grow closer to you. Lord, have your way in whatever it is in our lives. In your name we pray, amen. So we'll do the...